You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 273, Crisis Counseling Part 6, Three Earths, Three Deaths. And welcome to episode 273 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters, the last episode of 3013.
It's true. Yes. I did do the math there. In my
head. Yeah. And carry the one.
Jeez.
So, yes, I am Paul French, and today I am recovery lad.
Oh, again?
Well, it's just, you know, it's been a busy week. With the holidays and the kids and the gifting
and of course the hey nani nani
and the hot cha cha, you know.
Oh my.
Yes, that's right, kids. A little Marx Brothers reference for you.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. Just to keep things timely.
Yes. Slip out his wet clothes and into a dry martini. Yes.
Hey. So, yes, you know, just digging out from after the holidays, and glad to be back online again, because our phone line got knocked out by the ice storms up here.
Ice. Yeah, see, that's what we get. Y'all should not be getting ice. Y'all should be getting snow.
Yeah. You guys don't get ice.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, it's almost ice. Oh my.
You are judging, sir. Judging.
Oh no, I'm mocking. There's a difference.
Oh, okay. That's different, I guess.
There's definitely a difference. So that delayed last Monday's episode because something had gone wrong. It can only go wrong on a day where I have no access. Sure. So I ended up having to we got back from my cousin's place, and I zipped out to the pub because I know they've got Wi-Fi there, and managed to upload it with my laptop to re-upload the file, and made it under the wire.
Yay!
272 Mondays, 272 episodes, and one bonus episode. So
that's true.
Yeah.
But so, don't jinx it, because you know.
So seriously. And the cool thing is, I got the old speed of the connection juked up a little bit, because it turns out me and the repair guy are both fans of the Frank Zappa.
Oh, so
you never know what you're gonna bond over, and then someone says, "Hey, I'm gonna maybe go and reset things," and yeah. So anyway.
Might pump you up a little bit there.
Yeah. A little bit. So there we go. So that is me, sir. Over to you.
Well, I am doing well. And tonight and for the whole entire week, I have been a week in pajamas boy, because I basically, except for the days where I had to do family stuff for Christmas, I've been wearing nothing but pajamas and sweatpants all week.
When do you start back at work?
Because I've been a bum tomorrow. As you listen to this, I am back at work. Damn it.
Seriously.
But I'm grateful for my job. I'm grateful for my gainful employment. Thank you. I'll have to wear pants tomorrow.
Sigh.
I mean, I've been wearing pants, but not, you know, cargos or work pants or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, You know, when you're a bum all week, you know, it's nice to be a bum all week. I played Arkham Asylum this week. I know. Dear God, that thing. I'm like, okay, it's a video game. It won't be. I'm a gamer, but I'm not like, I don't sit down and play an entire game at one time. I was up till 3 and 4 in the morning, not realizing what time it was.
Now, is this the most recent one?
No. This is the first one in the series. It's a trilogy now.
Okay, so it was Arkham Asylum, then Arkham City, and the third one is...
And then Arkham Origins, I believe, which is a flashback. So you know Batman survives. Yay, what a shock. But Yeah, I know. Shocking. Would they kill Batman? Only Grant Morrison can tell that. Well, Grant Morrison and
kill him.
Paul Levitz.
Oh, yes.
Tell that story.
Well, Levitz is the only one that actually killed him.
Yeah, killed him and made him stay dead.
Yes. So far.
Who knows? It was an interesting game. I highly recommend it to anyone who plays video games or is a Batman fan. I think it would cross over well.
Very cool. Yeah, I've never played it, but I know it's shown up in the Mac App Store, so I may just have.
Yeah, Batman escorts the Joker to Arkham Asylum, and Arkham Asylum. The people who did the art and the atmosphere work on this game get my kudos, because it's a little unsettling in Arkham Asylum, as it should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
They borrowed a lot from that whole Grant Morrison novel.
Oh, the Dave Asylum. McKean?
Yeah.
Nice, yes.
Yeah, a lot of that was borrowed from it. You get to meet most of Batman's rogues, not all of them. You don't get to fight all of them.
Right.
But there are hints at some roguery action, and there are some of course Easter eggs lying around if you know where to find them.
Right.
And it's like, oh, that's so cool. And you have Riddler side quests, which is all kinds of fun. So,
oh, that's neat.
Yeah. So it's a good time had by all. I would say if you're an Ivy fan, a Croc fan, a Joker fan, you really want to get this game. A Harley Quinn fan, yeah, you want this game. So
very cool. So there you go.
And I bought Arkham City at the same time, so I'm gonna play that when I have another week.
Nice.
Nothing but pajamas to wear.
If there's a drawstring or an elastic waistband, I'll be playing Arkham.
I'm Arkham boy. Yeah, pretty much.
Exactly.
So, Paul, what are we going to do tonight? Well, it's just us.
It is just us because Matt is recovering on Medicus 1 after a battle with the corn people of Galactic...
Galactic Iowa.
Yes, Galactic Iowa, as opposed to regular Iowa.
Indeed.
Yes, birthplace of Captain Kirk.
And
Scott has been abducted by the
green slave women of the roller derby.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. So. He wishes. That orange would clash so much with that green skin. No. Mm. Oh.
Indeed.
Can't be having that.
So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to do what we always do when we're left to our own devices. We're going to...
take over the world. Yes,
exactly. Or destroy the multiverse.
Oh, okay. We can do that.
Yeah.
We'd be the latest ones to do it, after all.
You know, because like you
it's
do.
A pretty popular hobby over at a certain company now.
Indeed. Destroying it, recreating it,
destroying it, recreating it.
Altering its timeline.
It's like opening a door for a cat. Do you want out? Do you want in? Do you want out? Do you want in? Do you want... Anyway.
Let me tell you, with my dog, it's the same way.
Well, you have a puggy, though, so.
Yeah, exactly.
They're understandably, you know, of the cat-like mind because they are cat-sized.
Exactly. You know? And he's old, so he's a bit a bit ornery about it.
Ornery puggies, not good.
No, exactly. So, but it's okay because he's old. It's not like there's going to be another 10 years with him. So,
true.
At Christmas, we put just a little tiny dollop of turkey gravy on his. On his kibble, and he was like, whoom, you know, just I've never seen him eat kibble so fast.
Yeah,
and, well, it used to be that he ate it really fast, but he's slowed down in his older years. But he attacked this stuff, and of course, the last couple of days, it's been like, serious, you want me to eat this stuff without the gravy?
Yeah.
What
See,
gives?
My cats started meowing at me. I always give them tuna for Christmas, always. Day after the tuna, they're like, what's this crap in the bowl? Dude.
Yeah.
Dude. And they just come up to me and just meow randomly, angrily. Meow. It's like, what? I walk over, it's a full bowl. I'm like, eat your food. So they're looking at me, meow. Yeah. It's like, yeah, and that's your food. Have a nice day. Exactly. When you get hungry enough, you will eat the kibble. But I didn't see any Legion news. I'm assuming everybody's off the the week. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, to answer some questions that came up on the Facebook page, we're probably going to...
Questions?
Well, just about, what we're going to be covering as far as the new stuff. And maybe we'll just cover the stuff that's actually Legion-related, because it seems to me JL 3000 isn't even remotely Legion-related.
Thank God.
And... one day I'll actually get past page 10.
Wow. Yeah. There's our rousing review for you folks.
I've made progress. Before it was page 5. It's only taken me another 3 weeks to get that far.
This is not a rousing way to send people to that book, considering it's got 20 pages in it. It's taken you a month to get halfway through it.
Yeah, and I just don't care.
There's that. Okay,
but I will be we'll be keeping up on what goes on in Superboy, and so I'll keep my eye out there. And if something happens that warrants the attention, we will definitely we'll definitely be talking about it.
Call me when they change the name to Superboy, starring the Legion of Superheroes, please.
No, starring the
Legion of Superheroes. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
You guys call us and let us know when that happens. We'll be all over it like dead on Elvis. Promise.
Hey, and speaking of which, of course, that's been written by Marv Wolfman, and he wrote another book. Hey, this one.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Segway lad. All right. So,
womp womp.
So we open up.
Well, the cover's easy. This cover is a breeze compared to last month's cover. So.
Yes, exactly. So this cover, it's the Anti-Monitor.
Yeah, there
we go. That was an easy listing.
I am drained now. I really am. So,
all right, next episode. So we open on the Monitor satellite, or the antimatter in the antimatter universe, right?
Yeah, we are in the antimatter universe.
Yes,
we don't know exactly where we are in there yet, but we are presumably. In his headquarters, so.
Yeah, exactly. And so the Psycho Pirate still thinks that it is that he still refers to him as Monitor. And says, "You told me time and again I'd have a world to play with, millions of emotions to tamper with as I please." So he's clearly struck the same deal that Luthor struck with Zod in Superman 2. Only he gets instead of just getting Australia, he gets a whole world.
Ooh,
indeed. So he says, "The Monitor is dead. Now his satellite headquarters and his superpowered champions shall die with him." It seems that the Anti-Monitor is always yelling.
Always yelling, always in caps.
Yeah, and bold.
He's that friend on Facebook, you know.
Exactly. And
there's Barry down there.
Yeah, and he is recovering. He is biding his time, regaining control over his emotions, because, of course, Psycho Pirate had been manipulating him. And so the thing about this is that, of course, now Psycho Pirate's distracted. For one thing, and his hold over Barry is weakening, and so that is significant.
Yes, it is. And Anti-Monitors are complaining about Psycho Pirate's incessant babbling, saying that Raven or Phobia would be a fine replacement for his happy butt. So, but unfortunately, it's too late to go find someone.
So he says that the ultimate power will be his, and he says, "As for you, Pirate, I now grant you your wish. There are 3 Earths left for me to conquer. My foes' champions are being sent there to save those worlds, and I shall increase your abilities, and you shall use your emotion-controlling powers to win me my final victory." So basically, good, because the guy's not crazy enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, the Earths of which he speaks.
Earth-S, Earth-X, and Earth-4.
Exactly. So that is, of course, respectively, the Earth that the Shazam characters live on. Then Earth X is where the Freedom Fighters are from, and Earth 4 is the Charlton characters.
Correct.
So that would be, and we're going to see them. Actually, we're going to see a bunch of them as we go. So we'll get to that. So, of course, last issue, the Anti-Monitor launched an attack on the Monitor satellite, and that is still ongoing. So yep. we see Starfire and
that is Steel from Steel, Justice yes. League Detroit. Steel 2, technically, if you're talking about Commander Steel and then this Steel, so
right, because of course Commander Steel is the one that showed up in All-Star Squadron, and we would actually see a lot of that little fight play out in we saw some of that fight play out in Infinity Inc. in the crossovers and and I guess in Justice League, I don't know, maybe not.
Well, he appeared as he's basically Hank's grandfather. This is Hank Haywood, right. I think the third. And so Hank Haywood's the first is Commander Steel. And basically Hank wanted Grandpa to be proud of him. So he decided to undergo all these surgeries to become like his grandpa. And then ever since resented him for that. And it's like, why is this going on? So, you know.
Yeah, and we saw a little bit, you know, that kind of got brought back when Geoff Johns used Steel in
Justice JSA. Society
book more recently.
Yeah, Citizen Steel in that version. And none of these are to be confused with the John Henry Iron Steel.
Exactly. Now the other thing to consider is that, this is a character that although he made some appearances in the Golden Age, he wasn't a Golden Age character.
True. He was created during the DC explosion, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So this was Jerry Conway had his hands in a lot of pies in that explosion, because of course he had Firestorm and Steel the Indestructible Man this was all in 1978. Now the adventures were set in World War II, and that actually contained artwork by Don Heck. So that kind of just sort of gives you an idea there of who this character is. But yeah, he was a more recent character. You know, he'd been around for about 8 years at this point. So we see the two of them, and we see
there's Northwind in the back of that panel too.
Oh yes, that's right, that's right. And then his godfather, of course, Carter Hall, the Earth 2 Hawkman, is carrying Dr. Light, which that must go over well.
Yeah, she's very angry all the time.
yeah, because she's such a damsel in distress, right? He says, got you, miss. You'll be safe. Yeah. Mm.
And she's chewing him out in Japanese, which is hilarious. No one knows what she's saying.
And so then As the satellite is being destroyed, Martian Manhunter is asking if Katana and the Winged One.
That is Azrael from the New Teen Titans.
Yes. Now,
not to be confused with Batman's Azrael, yes. A much more popular character,
or Gargamel's cat.
True. True.
So this Azrael was an angel.
He was an alien with angelic-like features. Yeah. So, yeah. And he looks kind of Dawnstar-y there in a way.
He does a bit. Now, he came out of the, I think it was the second arc in the Baxter run of New Teen Titans, where they went back to Paradise Island. And this was,
He basically was going to be a love interest for Lilith, I think. And then they decided to write Lilith off the team. Yeah. And so Azrael disappeared and went to go be an acolyte of Brother Blood, a misinformed acolyte of Brother Blood, basically, for a little bit. And then he just kind of faded away, I think. I mean,
forgotten about that.
Yeah. He's got a little bit of a history, but no one ever did anything really significant with him.
Yeah.
So, you know, he just kind of went into limbo and stayed there.
Yeah. Yeah, and speaking of which, that was also an arc in which the Titans gained a new member in Cole.
Yes.
Speaking of short-lived characters,
who we'll be seeing very shortly here.
Yes, exactly, in the next panel, in fact. So we have
Jay Garrick helping Legionnaire Block there in the next panel.
That's right. So there we have. There's Block. And of course, as per usual, Block's size is causing some problems, and the disturbance has nullified his Legion flight ring, all three of them.
Yep, all three of them.
I'm sure is what he meant to say.
It is.
Yes. All right. So on the next page, we get Changeling turning into a bird, which he did a lot in this series, in fact.
Yeah.
That was kind of his go-to form. And then we have Cole, Supergirl, again, Changeling, Wonder Woman, and hanging upside down from Supergirl's hand is Black Canary in her short-lived just before JLI.
It's her bird uniform, basically.
She had a headband as well, just like Supergirl.
She did. Yeah. I think the reason why they gave her a new costume was they just recently revealed in JLA that she was the daughter of the original Black Canary, and perhaps they felt like, and since they were both wearing the same costume, maybe they realized maybe she as a woman would want to wear something of her own. Yeah. And this costume is very 80s.
Oh,
very '80s. So, you know, it didn't last long. In fact, there's that infamous Action Comics cover of Black Canary burning that costume.
That's right.
And going back to the old one. So,
yeah. And of course, in between there, she would be rendered powerless for a number of years as well.
Yeah. Longbow Hunters. Yep. Yeah.
And okay, so it's still blowing up, and we see Pariah is disappearing, which means that, according to Alexander Luthor, that there is a greater danger elsewhere.
Yep, there's trouble.
Yep. I think he's going to. Never mind. I couldn't remember my my Music Man quickly enough.
He's going to the pool hall, Paul. He's going to the pool hall.
There you have it. There you have it. So he's drawn to disaster, forced to helplessly watch as untold millions perish. And he continues whining. And then he's gone.
Yeah, that's what he did through the whole series.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what he does. So he's gone, and Alexander says that he'll need to use his antimatter energy, his matter and antimatter energy to save them, and she doesn't want him to sacrifice his life. So she says, I have the monitor's death on my conscience. I killed the man who saved my life. Perhaps now I can make it up to him.
Uh-huh.
Yes, maybe, maybe not. And we won't see Pariah for the rest of this issue, I believe.
No, we don't. But the end of that next page has something really cool. I think Perez did a lot of this on purpose in Crisis just to keep everything straight. If you'll notice, he's got the characters all lined up alphabetically up and down, left to right.
So yeah, he makes sure he doesn't. Thing. Yeah,
he doesn't forget anyone here when he's going through. Oh my gosh, I don't want to forget anyone. Who all is here?
Yeah.
And so just line them up and then draw them. So sometimes it wouldn't look like it was absolutely alphabetical, and in this instance it's not. It's up, down, and then to the right, you know. So
right, so we get Azrael, Black Canary, Block, Changeling, Dr. Light, Flash, Hawkman, Martian, or John Johns.
Yeah, he went with the J, not the M here.
That's right. Katana, Cole, Alexander, or Luthor.
Luthor.
Yeah, Alexander Luthor, that is. Northwind, Starfire, Steel, Supergirl, and Wonder Woman. It is a neat device that he did that. Mm-hmm. So, of course, Harbinger, Lila, stops Alex from using his powers. So, saying that his destiny lies elsewhere. Oh boy, does it! But that's
We'll get to that.
That's
Thank
a story
you.
For we've got a lot to get through before we ever get to
let's
that.
Let's put
story.
A pin in that little bit of dialogue there, darling, and come back to that later. Okay, let's just put that on the wall, shall we? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, Harbinger makes her way into the core of the satellite, and I'm never really entirely sure what her powers were, but.
It was Lila's later revealed, and not in this series, and I'm not sure if it took that she's an alternate universe Donna Troy in a way.
Oh God.
Yeah. So
yeah, when they were when they were doing all that nonsense. That's right.
Yep. So because she was found as an orphan child about to die, like Donna Troy did. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that kind of vibe to her. So
well, because Wolfman kind of stole her origin to when he redid Donna's origin, right?
Yep.
like the whole thing of her being found by someone in space, and that ended up being the Titans on New Cronus and all that kind of thing.
No one will ever. I think that's why we don't have Donna in the New 52 now, is no one knows what her origin really should be.
Well, just start from basics, right? I mean, that's the problem.
Like that. Yeah. You like that. So,
you know, that would be the easy way for them to go. But again, it's that whole, it's only 5 years, right? So
give it time.
Yeah. Exactly. But I mean, it's one of those things as well. You know, the thing with Donna Troy was nobody could ever leave well enough alone.
True.
They figure out a way to make it work. So they do the New Cronus thing, and though it removes the whole Wonder Woman bit of it, and it was Perez's own fault for that.
Yeah.
But so they take that part of it out, and then they find a way to fix that. And so she is still found by someone in that burning building. So that keeps who is Donna Troy story, you know,
that's still valid. Yeah.
Yeah. The only difference being that she doesn't end, you know, that instead of ending up training on Paradise Island with Wonder Woman, it's one of the Titans of New Cronus that takes her, and she trains there on that planet, but she still sort of has this whole other experience. So they made it work, and then of course John Byrne had to get into it.
Of course he did.
Make a mess of it, and a complete and utter balls up he made. it was just stupid.
Well, you know, he's not the first to do something stupid. I mean, and stupid,
but he did it. He did it very
harsh word, but it was stupid.
No, yeah, it's not harsh.
Well, you know.
All right. So anyway, getting back to this.
Welcome to Fanboy Rage Cast.
Yeah. Right. what a mess.
We already did the airing of the grievances. We can't do it 2 weeks in a row.
That's right. So much like John Byrne attacking the Wonder Girl continuity, Lila blows up the Monitor satellite and it is forever destroyed.
It's true. Much like Hawkman. Anyway.
Yeah. Again, can't leave well enough alone.
So
Earth 1 and 2 are still merging. This is a whole thing, and so when the planets occupy the same time and place, they'll both be destroyed.
They go kaboomski. It's true.
It's not good. It's not good. It's not what you want to happen.
I am so glad that they were able to show a gay wedding finalized here, because Adam is carrying Wildcat through the threshold. It's very nice, and it was such a great honeymoon that Wildcat just can't walk anymore. I don't know what to do anymore.
Oh my!
Call help. Help.
Oh my. So yes, he does bring him in. They've the lightning shattered his legs.
That was it.
Well, there you go. the lightning, air quotes.
The flash basically showed up.
So he points out that the world is dying. He was useless before, but now he's helpless too. So what good is the Wildcat now? What good indeed. this, of course, tied in a lot with Infinity Inc. and the idea of you know, every character was a legacy. So you had, you know, Infinity Inc., you had the son of the Earth 2 Wonder Woman, or the daughter of the Earth 2 Wonder Woman, the son of the Earth 2 Hawkman. You know, and you had the nephew of the Atom, and all this kind of stuff. And so basically, they did a lot of legacy characters there, and we see one of them, or as we will see, and we will know by the end of this issue. And so perhaps I'll leave it until then. But we see a woman climbing out on the window. She does say her name. It is Yolanda Montez, and of course, and I think we saw her last issue.
We did.
Yeah. So she says, "But poor Ted, we've been together so much, but I never told you about my special abilities. We could have been un gran equipo." Oh, now I'm gonna butcher that.
I'm calling Phil Jimenez right now.
Seriously,
we need a reading.
a great team, Ted. So she says, "But it looks like Wildcat's days are over." Or maybe not. Maybe or Wildcat maybe not. Can still live.
And we'll see. Remember what Johns did to Wildcat in the recent JSA about him? Yeah, sometimes he'd rescue a lady, and the lady would want to take him out, and then bada bing, bada boom, oh, look, a Wildcat kitty. So,
although maybe, that would not be the case with Yolanda.
I know, but I'm still thinking about it.
There you go. No, Yolanda's story ended up being far more convoluted than that. Yeah, part of the whole Helix family with Mr. Bones.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. So she was the one who didn't grow up with them. She got adopted and it was all separate. But
she got adopted out before she became a mad supervillain.
Did she become a mad supervillain as well? Or no, she stayed. She just stayed super.
Yeah, she stayed super until Eclipso.
Yeah.
Along with, I believe, the Dr. Midnight, who would take over for Charles McNider as well.
That's right. They both. Yeah. So it was Eclipso. Yeah. Eclipso was part of the further
the dismantling. House cleaning of the '90s. Yeah.
Yeah. The further. You know, hey, Roy Thomas, didn't Crisis screw you over enough? Oh, we ain't even started.
We ain't done yet. Hold the phone. Yeah, exactly. No. Meanwhile,
we see Lex Luthor is on his way from Kansas to Oz in a little tornado, and he gets pulled away and brought up to the new Brainiac's spaceship, and. This was just around the time that you know, Luthor had been amped up with his battle suit and Brainiac had been amped up, and so he was no longer the green guy in the purple leotard. Instead, he was full on robot.
But they had not met before this moment, so that explains the dialogue there. Yeah,
because that all happened in one of the Superman annuals, if I remember correctly. And
I think so. Yeah,
lots of cool Gil Kane art around then. All right, so he says, "Silence, Luthor. We have met countless times and fought together against the power of Superman." And he says, "You're crazy, robot. I don't know you." And he says, "No, I am the new Brainiac. And I offer you now a plan calculated to make us both rulers of this universe." So we move on to page 9, to Earth-X. Why don't you take over here?
Sure thing. On Earth X, we have Hawkman, Steel, Northwind, Dr. Light, and Starfire. And really of note here is the fact that Dr. Light can speak and understand English now magically. Wow, yes. That's amazing. So everyone's going to understand what a flaming biatch she is now because they can understand her. Nothing to hide about fine now, but she's on Earth X and she's Japanese. I wonder if that will come up. We'll see.
Oh, good point. Yes.
Yeah. So we are here on Earth X where the Nazis took over and they see a wall of white energy, which we know is the antimatter energy. And there's an image of Harbinger standing there, kind of just frozen, and she's concentrating. But people are trying to race into the antimatter, and that's not good. So heroes are going to stop that, and there goes Northwind trying to stop it. And as he attempts to talk to the populace, he notices that their eyes are filled with fear. They are glassy eyed. They look like they've seen several ghosts chasing after them. And as Northwind makes a final plea, he gets zapped in the chest with a big fool. And you see in the next panel the Freedom Fighters, which are the Ray, the Human Bomb, Uncle Sam, Dollman, and Phantom Lady.
Hey,
so,
now.
So, yeah.
Hello, Nurse.
Nurse. Hello. So we get a quick introduction to them. We got us a menace to fight fighters. Let's get to it. And the crowd basically starts beating Northwind to a pulp. And so Hawkman's going to go rescue his godson. But before he can get to him, Black Condor, the other member of the Freedom Fighters, comes out of the sky and yells, "Villain, you and your friends are the cause of this insanity. You're destroying our planet. We'll kill you. I swear we'll kill you." And Hawkman's like, "Black Condor, no." And Starfire screeches him with a star bolt. And while Dr. Light is forced into the role of protecting the civilians, and she keeps her thoughts to herself, they are fools rushing to their doom, or cowards. Instead of creating a wall of light blocking the fray, I should let them die. Such a lovely woman.
Yeah.
but she says, "But we need this world. We need to." And the Ray zaps her. Your powers are light-oriented too, woman? Then you'll appreciate what the Ray can do. And Hawkman grabs Dr. Light and he says, okay to save you this time, Dr. Light.
Which, of course, he didn't know because she said that in Japanese at the time.
He said it in Japanese.
Perhaps it was body language. Perhaps it was body language, to be fair. But
Or tone or who knows. Yeah, it probably was tone.
Yeah. He dealt with
in World War II. He's probably picked up a little Japanese here and there. A little Jap. Anyway. So Dr. Light says, you said those fools were your friends. This is a planet of madmen. And he says, obviously something's wrong. Heroes don't battle other heroes without reason.
Unless they're in a crossover story.
Thank you. Unless they're being controlled. Controlled by who? The writers. That's who. Meanwhile, the antimatter universe. Yeah.
Controlled. Clearly, she hasn't learned that much English. Controlled by.
Controlled by who?
Whom.
Whom.
Yes.
Psychopirate's like, monitor, it hurts. So many emotions. I feel like my head's exploding. Please, monitor, let me stop. And antimatter's like, nonsense, psychopirate. You wanted a world to control. Now you have. Oh, three. I had to count there. Yes. And now we shift to Earth Quattro.
Yes.
It's raining on Earth 4 because they loved the rain in the printing process back then. It's just black lines over your art. Whatever. But here we are, and the team assembled for Earth 4 is Azrael, Flash, Block, Katana, and the Martian Manhunter. And they're discussing how the weather is just not – this is not normal. This is not good. And they're going through, but remember the red skies and the lightning? And, we've been here before. We've seen this before. They see Harbinger's silhouette here as well. And then they notice a large bug in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And as Azrael attempts to get close to the bug, Flash warns him away. There's something flying around, and he gets – Captain Atomized, zap.
Yes, he does.
And then Azrael gets saved by the Flash, creating one of those standard whirlwinds to float the Angel Man to the ground there. Mm-hmm. As Captain Atom comes out of the bug owned by Blue Beetle, who we saw earlier in this series.
And for those who are used to Captain Atom being the silver-coated version that they would have seen in Justice League Europe and even in his short-lived New 52 comic. He is, of course, in the original Charlton outfit. And it would kind of make an appearance in the later Captain Atom series with Kerry Bates and Pat Broderick, where part of his cover story was that he had been a hero back in the day who worked for the government. And So this is the old school Captain Atom wearing an atomic powered man wearing a costume.
True.
He says, are these the ones that kidnapped you, Blue Beetle? And he says, they don't look so tough. And then now this is a classic Beetle line. Up and at 'em, Captain Atom.
Hmm. Yeah.
And he says, they scare the wits out of him. And he says, I think they're going to destroy our world, too. So what say we surprise him some? And then Block, of course, gets blown up again.
Yeah, Block gets blown up again. And then we see, I don't know if he got blown up by Captain Atom or if Peacemaker threw a grenade at him in the next panel. Because it kind of looks like that would be a grenade throw there.
And
Peacemaker's with Nightshade. Yay. Yeah,
these are the first DC Universe appearances of Captain Atom, Nightshade, and Peacemaker. And later Judo Master. We'll get to him. But this was definitely their first appearance in the DC Universe.
Or as you know them now, Dr. Manhattan, Silk Spectre, and Comedian.
Indeed.
And there's Katana kind of trying to fend those two off.
And Nightshade actually got carried into that whole – it would later get carried into that whole Captain Atom cover story because she was a government agent and was told to basically say that she had partnered with Captain Atom back in the day. And just to, again, keep his story going. Although why they would go to someone who was a member of the Suicide Squad to do this, I'm not sure exactly.
Well, she was undercover in the Suicide Squad, so, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
But it was also that Captain Atom and Nightshade were a couple kind of sort of in his original book in the Charlton days.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it was a way of sort of bringing that again, keeping that those stories as see those Charlton stories. If you ever find them, they were the cover story stories.
See, the Charlton stuff matters. The old Legion stuff doesn't. So it's OK.
Well, the Charlton stuff had the whole Dick Giordano seal of approval, right? Because and
it
also
matters who they, you know, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and also they had just paid an awful lot of money to get the characters.
True.
Which was why they said to Alan Moore, maybe you should call them different names.
Yeah. Before you go killing them all off.
Yeah, exactly.
Or making them have sex or anything else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spoilers for 85, sorry. Mm-hmm. And then Katana and Judo Master kind of have it out, and he wins because he took her by surprise, more than likely.
Now, Judo Master we didn't see a lot of in the DCU.
He wound up in All-Star Squadron because he was a World War II hero.
Right, that's right. Okay.
Mind you, there were 85 characters in All-Star Squadron, so yeah, it's difficult to juggle that many characters.
Yeah. A-list he wasn't.
No, he wasn't an A-lister there, for sure. And Martian Manhunter picks up on the word allies, thinking, oh, time is changing here. Mm-hmm. And then we see a character that DC shouldn't have put in their book after all. This is the Ozymandias character, Peter Cannon, Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
Which apparently was one of those characters that there were some rights problems with after the miniseries came out.
That's
like
right.
In the 80s, right? Yeah. So, and he's running right for the antimatter wall, and Flash stops him with his super speed. So, yeah.
Yeah, the whole Peter Cannon thing was that basically he was, of course, originally published in Charlton Comics, but he was actually owned by the creator. So the creator of Peter Cannon, and you know, very much like the Ozymandias did not fall far from this this particular character tree, the whole Eastern mysticism and sort of that whole Zen hero kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the character has been owned by the estate of the creator Pete Morrissey since his death in 2003. And so they had, I remember there was, I vaguely remember, there was a miniseries, probably in the early 90s.
Yeah, it was late 80s, or early 90s, one
yeah,
of the two.
Yeah, so they had like and fairly not, I don't know, it felt to me fairly nondescript. And so, I think it was like 12 issues, and here it is. Okay, so he was again going up against a criminal terrorist for hire known as Scorpio.
Oh, that's original.
Yeah, and so in last June, Dynamite Entertainment had announced that they were going to be publishing a new Peter Cannon series. And so there you go. He was briefly shown in flashbacks in Kingdom Come as a member of Magog's Justice Battalion, along with the rest of the Charlton action heroes, and was apparently killed with the other members when Captain Atom got pierced and all that stuff. So,
well, that makes sense. So yeah. There you go.
So anyway, so that's kind of the... His origin was that he was the orphan son of an American medical team who was raised in a Himalayan lamasery, I don't know, where his parents had sacrificed their lives combating the dreaded Black Plague. After attaining the highest degree of mental and physical perfection, he was entrusted with the knowledge of the ancient scrolls that bore the secret writings of past generations of wise men. From them, he learned concentration, mind over matter, the art of activating and harnessing the unused portions of the brain. Sound like Ozymandias? Yeah.
Yeah.
Made seemingly fantastic feats possible. Then he returned to America with his faithful friend, Taboo.
And I had a friend named Taboo once.
I know. And sought out a new life in a new land that required the emergence of Peter Cannon, Thunderbolt. And they said that the origin was reminiscent of the Golden Age hero Amazing Man. Not Amazing Man. Amazing Man.
Amazing Man.
We've been through this, yeah. And the earlier still pulp and radio, the earlier pulp and radio serial character, The Shadow. And
Lamont,
so,
for instance.
Yes, indeed. So anyway, there's the story on Peter Cannon Thunderbolt.
And in case anyone out there is wondering where Rorschach is, well, he's in the bug. That's where you'll see
the first
appearance of the Question.
Yeah, so we get onto that next page, and the runner seems to have stopped Thunderbolt. He says, thank goodness for that. What? They're not friends?
They're friends here, so, you know, hey.
Well, Beetle and the Question are, of course. The Question would, of course, have his own series, although he was in the Mature Readers label, and that was the one by Denny O'Neill and Dennis Cowan that is cool. And they did trade it. Look for the original issues.
Mm-hmm.
Look for the original issues and check out the letters pages. There's some fascinating stuff in there. And he always had every issue. Denny O'Neill had recommended reading that kind of addressed one of the themes in the issue. And it was really cool stuff. There's a lot of great books I read as a result of that. In fact, I think that's what led me to finally read Watchmen at the time.
Ah,
because I hadn't been reading when it came out. And there was an issue where they addressed the whole Rorschach parallel, and that was the recommended reading. It's like, I got to read this because I'd been really enjoying a lot of the recommendations he was making.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yes, here is the Question, and he's hanging out with Beetle on the bug, and says. Some terror is gripping us, forcing us on, not only to refuse to believe those trying to save us, but to kill ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
Always so philosophical, the Question.
And Blue Beetle, for anyone's wondering, he's Night Owl, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Complete with the precursor to... with the whole legacy thing, and of course the bug is the same as Archie. And so we see Atlantis
under the sea. Sorry,
I've seen that three times in the last week.
You must have girls at home. Yeah, okay,
indeed.
So Ariel, she set women's lib back 25 years. Oh, swear to God. Nice. So you see a quick little snippet of Atlantis before, you see the Sea Devils down there. Dane Durant's got a lot of panel time in this series, and no one really knows why. The next panel, you see Dolphin up at the top, and then Lori Lamaris kind of in the middle, and then Aquaman, and then Black Manta following. That can't be good.
And the Ocean Master.
Well, we don't see Ocean Master, I don't think, until the next page. So
okay. Yeah, no, fair enough.
So, true. So there's Aquaman with...
Spoilers for next page.
Yeah, I know. Next page is coming. Aqualad's there with Aqualad and Aquagirl, and the whole Aqua family is there because there's Lori Lamar. She can't find her home. The Aquaman family can't find their Atlantis. And Aquaman's looking for Mira, can't find her. And lo and behold, this leads into the Aquaman miniseries.
That's right.
I forget if this is the one with the blue and white camo outfit.
Might have been.
Or is that one a later one? I forget. He had a couple of miniseries during this time.
Yeah.
But he does eventually find Mira and then go back to the Justice League of America in time to help defeat Amazo in the Detroit League. So there you go. But on the next page, we see Ocean Master and Black Manta there. And... they are looking at Aquaman speeding off. It's like, oh, yes, he's going to have lots of troubles indeed. And Dolphin's behind the two of them. And then the two villains disappear, leaving Dolphin alone and scared. And that can't be good.
It can never be good.
When villains disappear, that's a problem, folks. So.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look
and
up
then
that.
Look up what?
That when that series, when that miniseries came out.
This is the 80, this would be 1985-ish It says the Aquaman miniseries, which I think is the blue camo suit miniseries, which is a great miniseries. I love that miniseries.
Oh, it's fantastic. And that's, of course, the Neil Posner designed costume, which Phil Jimenez would later pay tribute to when he redesigned Aqualad's costume as Tempest. Okay, so let's see here. Let's just collect his editions. I don't know.
Okay. He had a lot of them. I think it's the blue camo one, so look out for that one. So we're going to go back to Earth S for Shazam.
Shazam!
Pile. And this is why there's no Earth 5, is because writing Earth S and Earth 5, they look an awful lot alike. So there was never an Earth 5, okay? There may be one somewhere, but it was ignored and it died at the end of the series. So there you go. Changeling is coming through the side of what appears to be a concrete barrier or a wall or something. And he's yelling at Black Canary, "Look out, beautiful. I can't stop."
Now would have been the time to change into a bird.
Not when you're hitting the wall. After you've hit the wall. So
good point.
That might hurt. So. Supergirl is like, "Are you all right, Gar?" And sure enough, Garfield is with the one-liners. You know, he is Shecky Green, and I mean that pun literally. If you like your basic green mixed with black and blue, anyone catch the license plate on that fist that hit me? Dun, 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 dun. You know, all through this is what he's doing.
Take my sidekick, please.
Please. Tip your waitresses. The veal, 2-for-1 on Tuesday. Anyway, there's Captain Marvel, Shazam, coming after Garfield, and he gets a face full of Supergirl's fist right there. And Supergirl's trying to reason with him, but to no avail, really. And she's begging, "Please stop fighting. Just listen to me." And Captain Marvel's having none of it. And he brings down a building on her, but she easily breaks through that and then goes around and slams him again. And Gar's back into a bird following Black Canary. And Black Canary is the detective here of the characters that we have on this Earth. And she says, "Supergirl's right, which can mean only one person. Psycho Pirate must somehow be controlling them." Then he didn't die. A crystal barrier? Some preventing the people from leaping into the antimatter cloud. Oh, Cole. Yeah, that's what she does.
Yeah.
You would know what she does before you leave on a satellite with her. But yeah, she makes crystal barriers. So there you go. And there's the image of Harbinger on Earth S as well.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman is having a tussle with Mary Marvel.
Oh, wait. Mary Marvel's being a bit of a pain in a crisis?
Well, she's not her goth version Mary Marvel, so
it's true. It's so true.
This is just mental control Mary Marvel, not, "Oh my god, she went to the club and got hooked on meth" Mary Marvel. Not that I'm saying that's what Mary did, but and so Mary Marvel and Wonder Woman are having a tussle over the Golden Lasso, and then Captain Marvel Jr. comes back here and slams Wonder Woman in the backside, giving us one of the last classic merciful Minervas we'll ever hear.
Yeah, that's right. Now, of course, Captain Marvel Jr. refers to Mary as sis.
Yeah. But even though they're not.
Yeah. So
I think that was just a term of affection with them at that point, just maybe. Because it's the Marvel family. Yeah. So,
fair enough.
And then Black Canary gives them the sonic whammy. So crisis happens before Longbow Hunters. Thank you.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Which is good to know. So
there's Uncle Marvel.
Uncle Marvel is being wrestled by a big green snake. I wonder who that is. I wonder where the Lieutenant Marvels are. You know, Fat Marvel, Tall Marvel, and Hillbilly Marvel aren't here. But Hillbilly Marvel. And Hoppy the Marvel Bunny is missing as well. But let's assume that they are here somewhere, and they're thankful that the Marvel family is having problems adjusting to the sonic scream of Black Canary, and they're staring at the image of Harbinger wondering what the heck this woman is up to.
We do see Sorry, just catching.
Did I miss someone? I'm sorry.
No, no. I see. So the whole Sis thing.
Uh huh.
I don't have the original issue handy, but in the collect, I'm reading from the collected edition, as I assume you are.
No, I'm on Comixology, actually.
So. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, he's been since recolored. This was actually originally Captain Marvel.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And but of course, he'd been knocked out cold by Supergirl on the previous page, so they recolored it.
Gotcha.
So that it could be Captain. So that's where the Sis line comes in. Of course, it's not Freddy's sister. It is Captain Marvel's sister, and but they forgot that, you know, it was just a little continuity, you know, page to page continuity. Oops, yeah. So if you're looking at the original issue, he's colored as Captain Marvel and corrected into being Captain Marvel Jr.
So. Which that makes more sense anyway, because Supergirl definitely KO'd Captain Marvel, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah, decisively so. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So
back on Earth X.
Yeah, so here we are. Freedom Fighters still
Look,
fighting
here we
again,
are.
Still battling against the heroes sent to save them. And everyone's starting to figure out that the Psycho Pirate is behind their troubles.
Yep.
Steel's fighting, and of course,
Uncle Sam
has more of an issue with his fashion sense.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
Son, I'm the only one allowed to be garish on this planet.
As a boy.
Even though the Nazis been looking for me and they can't find me, even though I'm dressed like this. Okay.
Yeah, so he punches Steel and realizes his face is like iron. No, it's like steel.
Well, you know, go with it.
I know, I'm just joking. Heywood doesn't like having to fight Uncle Sam, but he can't figure out why he would distrust us, especially when he can see his world crumbling around him. And of course, Katana realizes that Judo Master is not in control of himself. Block and Martian Manhunter are holding on to the bug, stopping it from moving. Mm-hmm. And Block's the one who finally puts it together about the Psycho Pirate and believing that it is his handiwork.
Which, that should give Legion fans a little smile.
Indeed.
Because most of the Legionnaires consider Block one of the slowest Legionnaires mentally, even though that honor we've already discussed goes to another Legionnaire.
Indeed.
But we're going to give him a night off because, you know, Ultra Boy.
Anyway. Wasn't me, Josh. All right, so.
So the next page.
Yeah.
Harbinger is the quicker picker upper.
Yeah, so basically she pulls the remaining worlds, the worlds of the remaining universes into the Netherverse through herself.
Yeah, so the universe is painful.
Yeah, the universe is the container Earth 4, Earth X, and Earth S. All get drawn through to her, so drawn away from the antimatter cloud, which cuts through their very fabric. Drawn from certain death, and my monitor. I was controlling all their emotions. It was all my power was focused. No, billions of souls
crying out
at once. Someone's seen Star Wars.
I've been looking for love in all Duran places. Yes, I have.
So two Earths had been previously saved from imminent destruction. Now three more join them. And Harbinger, given great powers by the man she was forced to kill, is simply no more. And she's now just Lila.
Yep.
So this is key. Like, these are the universes that end up getting brought together to create the post-crisis universe. So you'll see that's why all these characters that we're talking about, it's definitely by design.
Yep.
That they'll all be part of the same place.
And they did that, you know, the series that would come after this would on purpose have different characters from different universes.
Exactly.
Just to reinforce that idea in your head
that they're together.
That it's not just Earth One. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, you know, you even look at they kind of imitated that whole conceit with Flashpoint, where it was like, okay, so here's this world being brought in, and here's this world being brought in. So merging the wild, the Wildstorm universe and the Vertigo universe with the DCU, it was the same kind of idea. So basically, the idea is that that the vibrations which separate them are slowing down, and if they don't do something quickly, when those five worlds merge, they will destroy each other.
Yep, they will go kaboomski.
Not out of the woods yet. Oh no! And so of course, never. She finds herself with Alex Luthor, and they realize that yes, she is just Lila now, not Harbinger, and
which begs the question: how are they surviving in the middle of space? I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Well, that's the least of our worries, right? Because yeah, she no longer has powers. She's just she's just human now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's something else that they say is that if these swirling worlds are meant to be meant to represent the universes, why are there stars in the distance?
Mm.
Right, so it's not these aren't just the worlds; these are the actual universes. Anyway, they're not out of the woods yet, as we say. So on to the next page. Their next concern is getting off this floating rock and figuring out how it is we're breathing.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah. What? Huh? All right. Well, we'll just go with it for now. I would have been more comfortable had they both appeared somewhere on an Earth somewhere.
Yeah.
Than this. I get you have to show everybody what's going on,
mm-hmm.
but you could have just said, yes, the five Earths are merging. We're not done yet. And leave it at that and say, well, how do we get to the heroes? Because we're in the middle of the Sahara or the Antarctic or something, but mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, down on Earth 2, we have three villains being pursued by Green Lantern, Johnny Quick, and Power Girl. And I have to say, I made a mistake.
What's that?
Remember several episodes ago, I said that Power Girl didn't get her boob window until much later. That was a lie. She actually had it in her debut.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
And I've got to thank fan Steven. Hold on. I wrote it down, and I will get your last name wrong if I don't look it up now because I'm old. Steven Wooder. There you go. Yes. He caught me. So you get a no prize. So go to Murray's house and ask for some of our swag because he has it all.
He'll send it to you one piece.
He will. At a time. One piece at a time. One panel at a time, sir. So before you do that, I beg you to consider what you're thinking there. But they're pursuing Star Sapphire, Deathbolt, and Pere Degaton. Yes. And before they can get a hold of them, the villains disappear.
Wow, someone seems to be collecting a bunch of villains.
Hmm. That could be interesting, couldn't it?
Indeed.
Wait for it, kids. Wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, elsewhere.
Yes. So back, of course, outside Ted Grant's window, we saw someone crawling around the window before, and that was Yolanda Montez. And we see a shadow that says, "Ted, I feel so sorry for you. Your leg's destroyed. You're feeling of helplessness when the world most needs you. They need Wildcat, Ted, and I've decided to make sure they have one." What?
Yep.
And the on the next page, we see her climbing. We see a black cat suit with red hair sticking out of it, climbing up the side of the building, and she loops around and spins up and says, "You cannot know how much you mean to me, Ted, how much you inspired me, and you cannot know about my powers and what I can do. This is for you, Ted Grant. I'm no longer just Yolanda Montez, reporter. From now on, Ted Grant, I'm the new Wildcat."
Wow.
Yeah, and we also get treated to Lila and Alex sitting on the floating rock looking at the swirling worlds below them, saying, "We wait here, Lila, and worlds are dying. And I wonder what I can do to stop it." And Lila says, before he died, the monitor said you had a destiny to fulfill. Trust him, Alex Luthor. Trust him. And so next issue. Oh, this one could be a big one.
Next issue is going to be a biggie, folks. So, yeah.
Double-sized dynamite. So first off, double-sized.
Double-sized and a lot of exposition in it.
Yeah. The one you've been demanding, the origin of the monitor, the origin of Pariah, the origin of Harbinger. No one's been asking for that. And the shocking ending of the century, which gets spoiled on the cover. We are, of course, talking about Crisis 7, one of the most imitated covers.
Ever.
Can't wait for that one.
And the death of a Legionnaire.
That's right.
So we're going to have to do it. Yeah. So, yeah. Well,
you know, being that we're doing the rest of the series. Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. It's going to happen. So stay tuned, true believers.
Yeah. So,
Stanley just turned 91. You think he'll sue me for saying that? I don't know. Excelsior. No,
he won't. Misney will.
Oh, Misney. Oh, crap. I'm scared of them. They are lawyered up, people. Yeah. They be scary. Okay.
Exactly. So, I'm looking forward to when we do Beyond the Silent Night. We certainly welcome some discussion on the crisis in this issue in particular, and just the whole different Earths thing, and what you think of how these characters were later integrated into the one size fits all DC universe that we had for a number of years.
Indeed, because some of them were successful and some of them not so much.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Did you read the Peter Cannon miniseries? Tell us what you thought.
Because you can't get it now, I don't think.
No. And now if you could, it'd be like a nickel a piece. But
probably.
But good luck finding them, because I don't know that the print runs were exceptionally high on that series, because it did not do well.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that brings us to the end of another episode of Crisis Counseling.
Sweet.
And do you have anything else to add?
Happy New Year. Drive safe. Call a cab, please. Yeah,
exactly. Please
don't do anything dumb.
It is, of course, the new year, and we have all kinds of great stuff coming up. We're going to continue on our look at Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. And got at least one guest coming up. And,
a guest? Yes, wow.
Yes, I'm kind of excited about this one as well.
Yay.
So,
cool. We haven't had a guest in here in a while. We need to clean the time bubble.
Exactly. We're going to have to dust. And
we're going to have to get rid of the squirrel droppings is what we're going to have to do.
Indeed. And, of course, the corn husks.
Oh.
From poor Matt being attacked by the...
Children of the corn.
The children of the corn, indeed.
Think happy thoughts.
About this whole Bethany Snowum brother blood thing going on in my mind.
Yeah.
Messy. All right. So comments, as always, are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. And you can follow us on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all these things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble, and we'll see y'all next year.